Now, we're going to read in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Luke, chapter 23. And we're going to read a well-known story. We don't always know what people are thinking when they come to a gospel meeting. Maybe you have had some inner thoughts that, is this what life is all about? Maybe you have wondered, how can I have peace inside? You wouldn't be the first person to wonder that. I don't know whether you ever tell if I'm Shia LaBeouf. Some of the younger folks may have heard tell of Shia LaBeouf, but he's right up there with Brad Pitt and a whole raft of them. But he's a younger movie star, Shia LaBeouf, and he's got a few credits to his name. Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, and a number of things like that. He's pretty popular, Shia LaBeouf. He's only in his 20s. And quite a star. He's been acting since he was a child. And he was interviewed a little while ago. And the interviewer said, that tattoo that you have on you there, that on your shoulder, the shackled hand tattoo. What's that tattoo about? Like, what's the meaning behind that tattoo? Because often body art, there's a story behind it. Well, he said, it's like an artist drawing his own prison. Just life. That's where I am now. Imagine. Shackled. That's where I am. In my own prison. Now this is a celebrity. This is a millionaire. This is a guy that's got all kinds of fans. And he said, sometimes I feel like I'm living a meaningless life. I know I'm one of the luckiest dudes in America right now. I have a great house. My parents don't have to work. I got money. I'm famous. But it could all change, man. It could go away. You never know. And then he said, why am I so insecure? Why do I have this uneasy feeling? He said, I have no idea where this insecurity comes from. Get this. But he said, it's like a God-sized hole in my heart. If I knew how to fill it, I would fill it. And I'd be on my way. I think that was a pretty accurate description. Everyone in this meeting, you're different than a giraffe. At Christmas time when I eat too much turkey, I might feel like a hippopotamus. But I'm different than a hippopotamus. You and Peter Ramsey were made for a relationship with God. And if God is on the outside of my life, then I would have a God-sized hole, no matter what I try to fill it up with. So Shia LaBeouf is saying, I have a God-sized hole in my heart, and if I knew how to fill it, I would fill it. Thank God. That hole can be filled by Jesus Christ. You can have a personal relationship with him. He went on to say, I have no answers, man. I have no idea. What is life all about? I have no answers to anything. Why am I an alcoholic? I haven't a blank clue. What is life about? I don't know. It's the people that are on the covers of magazines. Sad, isn't it? One of many. What about you tonight? What's the condition of your heart? You have God in your life. You know about him. But do you have a real relationship with God? Luke chapter 23. The Lord Jesus is on the cross. Verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. Now I want you to get this part. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss, not one thing out of place, not one thing wrong. And then he stopped talking to his buddy, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Do you see where it said there in verse 33, where he was crucified, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left? It would look something like this. I don't know whether this will stay up here or not, but just so you get the picture, it will look something like this. One there. I hope this doesn't offend your intellect. Maybe you think it's childish. Two of them, the Lord Jesus Christ in the center. You know, why is it? Have you ever wondered why some people come to gospel meetings? They hear the same message. One gets saved. One looks to Christ, and the other has no interest. A wife trusts Christ, and the husband dies and goes to hell. Ever wondered that? It's the same Christ, the same message. But that's what you can get out of this. Luke 23. Two men who had the same opportunity. They were in the same predicament. They were in the same place at the same time. They saw the same transaction occur. They saw the same Christ. And tonight as we speak, one man is up. And the other man is down. And it's very likely that not everyone in this room will be up. In an audience this size, the probability is that someone will end up down. Down. That's what we'd like you to face tonight, this great reality. I want to go over five things that one thief understood that the other thief did not get. Five things this one man understood that this man just didn't grasp or understand. Verse 32, it says, And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Two of them. Put to death. The certainty of death. Oh, these were partners in crime. These are the guys that went out and partied on the weekends together. And they committed crimes together. And they probably thought their crimes would never catch up with them. You know, when you're young, you think you're invincible. No, it won't happen to me. No, look, old people die, but not a young person. Really? Don't count on it. Have you been to a cemetery? Have you looked at the ages? But somehow we can think that we ourselves are invincible. I drive carefully. I don't drink and drive. But you might be driving carefully, but the other person may not be. Like that. This man understood. I am facing death. Death is staring me in the face. Let me ask you this. If you were to die before midnight tonight, are you ready? Ready? You say it's not likely to happen. I have a lot of people praying for me. Oh, the prayers of your parents or your Sunday school teacher won't protect you, make you safe, make you more responsible. My in-laws, Edith and Floyd Stewart, were the godliest people that I met. Yeah, my father was a preacher, but there was something about Floyd and Edith, and the reality of living for Christ was so real. Floyd and Edith had a family. My wife, we'd just been married. Stephen was in our wedding party. Stephen was a basketball player. And while everybody, the rest of the family was at a conference this month in May, PEI, Stephen was out on a lake with his buddies in Nova Scotia fishing. I'll never forget when the RCMP came in to the school looking for Mr. and Mrs. Stewart. And they were told that your son is missing on a lake in Nova Scotia. 21 trophies up in the attic of his mother's home now, rusting, collecting dust. Star basketball player. The rest of his family saved. He wasn't. Well, he may have been. I don't know. He had a profession. We left the conference. We went to the steward home. We waited for a day. They thought, well, maybe we'll find Stephen wandering in the woods somewhere disoriented. And then the next day arrived. And the word came through, Stephen's body has been found. It happens. Death happens. So unexpectedly, just a fishing trip. Stephen was an experienced swimmer. And he even brought the other guys right to the shore and pushed them up on the ledge. But then he drowned at the last minute. And Mr. Stewart got us all in the spare bedroom, and we all got on our knees. And he said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It happens. It happens. And this man got it. This man got it. I am dying. I'm going out to meet God. I can't afford to be careless and slipshod about this anymore. This is urgent. The slender thread of life is about to snap. And I am going out to meet God. And there's no way out of this. I cannot escape. He understood his own vulnerability, the certainty of death. Verse 40, he says to his friend, he looks over at him. The Lord Jesus is in the middle. And he looks over and he says, do you not fear God? We're in the same predicament, the same condemnation. Don't you fear God? You know what this man understood? Not only the certainty of death, his vulnerability, but his accountability. I don't call the shots. I am accountable to the Almighty God. There's a group of atheists and agnostics meeting in Kamloops this weekend, and they're going to denounce God. They're going to say he doesn't exist. They're going to say all kinds of things. They'll probably be clapping as the speakers sit down, but the And that big thing, who has the final say? The buck stops with God, as they say. And this man understood it. I am going out to meet God. I'm accountable to God. I fear God. You can live without God. You can deny God even exists. A lot of people like him as a 911 God. You say, what do you mean, 911 God? Huh. You know what I mean, don't you? Bad diagnosis? Child gets sick? Huh. God, come running! Drop everything! I've ignored you all these years. Come! Intervene! Save my child! 911 God. But when the sailing is smooth, I don't need God. I don't need to be urgent, worried about it. This man understood, I am accountable to God. And it's time to break ranks with a friend. We might have been buddies. But friend, buddy, if you're not thinking of God, I am. And we may have good times on earth, but I'm going out into eternity now. If you don't want him, I do. And he was willing to break ranks with a friend. Amos said in the Bible, prepare to meet God. Do you think about God today? Ever think of all the things that you've done and said? Have you ever, you know what? It's not just the bad things we do that's sin. And it's not just the bad things we think. Because God sees that too and knows all about that. People say, well, I've never committed any crimes. No, you may not have robbed a bank. Did you ever think of wanting more money? You just thought about it. It's a sin. It's a crime against God. Jesus said you don't have to go out there and commit some sin with a female. He said just to look at her and wish you could. Is sin, is adultery, recorded in heaven. So it's not just the things we do, it's the things we think. And it's not just the bad things we think or do. It's the good things we could have done and failed to do. He that knoweth to do good but doesn't do it, it's sin to God. And so God is all of this on our record. And this man was starting to think about it. I am accountable to God. He understood that. Certainty of death. The fear of God, verse 41, he says to his friend, look it, we are getting just what we deserve. We are receiving the due reward of our deeds. There are consequences to sin. He's thinking, I'm the guilty one. Did you ever tell that to God? Oh God, as good as I am, I'm guilty. I have sinned. I have taken my own way. I haven't tried to please you. It's all about pleasing me. This man understood that he was guilty. This man wasn't there. He wasn't thinking those thoughts. Sin became so obvious to him because just halfway between he and his friend, there was a sinless one. And oh, how glaring our sin becomes when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ and his innocence and his perfection. They probably hollered and screamed when they were nailing them to the cross. But when they nailed him to the cross, they weren't trying to pry his hands open. Hey, put your hand thee down and him, hold him down! While he cursed and swore and they nailed. None of that was Jesus. I'm sure this man must have thought, wow, what kind of a man is this? He never even cursed them. His eyes didn't flash with anger. His cheeks weren't flushed with rage. He just opened his hands. And I have seen some rough cases in my lifetime. Just look at me. Product of sin. But as he looked at this lovely man on the cross, he said, there's something unique about him. And there is, friend. Oh, how the Lord Jesus loves you and wants to save you. And this man was impressed with the Lord Jesus. You impressed with him tonight? All he could think of as he hung there is my sin. We're getting exactly what we deserve. We know argument now from his lips about his guilt. It's called repentance. No big talk anymore. No shrugging of the shoulders. Guilty. Getting exactly what I deserve. 180 degree turn. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. There are consequences for sin. Verse 41, he says to his friend, this man has done not one thing out of place. This man. While he hung there on the cross, thinking about his own sin, then he started to think about this man. This man. This man. That's what we're preaching about. This man. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. It's all about this man. It's not about this church. This isn't about the gospel hall. Man, if that's all it was about, I'd be home lickety-split. I would be back in PEI in no time if it was about the gospel hall. No, it's about this man. That's what the gospel message is all about. This lovely man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God. Peter said, he didn't do any sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. John said, he came to take away sins, and in him is no sin. And this man over here said, this man has done not one thing out of place. When have you last got on your knees? Listen carefully. When have you last got on your knees and thanked this man for dying for your sins, suffering on the cross for you? You haven't? What? If you gave the very best that you had, and the person that you gave it to never bothered to say thank you, how would you feel? God gave the very best that he had. The Lord Jesus Christ. And is it possible there are people in Kamloops and they've never said, thank you, God, for giving your son to die for a sinner like me. Oh my. What an awful eternity awaits some people. This man was occupied with the innocence of Christ and his own guilt. This man has done nothing amiss. And then he stopped talking to his friend. Then he started talking to the Lord Jesus. You know, you don't have to talk to the preachers. We're not going to ask you, come on in and talk to us. Confess your sins to us. We can't do anything for you. We could read the Bible to you. But what you need to become, who you need to become occupied with is Christ alone. Christ. And that's exactly what this man, the innocence of Christ, and then he's occupied with the Savior of sinners. And he cries a very personal prayer. He doesn't say, Lord, save us. If my friend is not interested, this is about my soul, where I'm going to be forever. He said, Lord, remember me. Me. When you come into your kingdom. Kingdom? Thorns on your forehead? Face beaten and bruised, and this man thinks he has a kingdom? You say, well, if I was at the cross, I could get saved. Really? You think you could look at the Lord Jesus Christ and think that that man had a kingdom? I think it's easier to look back now with the written word of God and you see the complete story and say, thank God, the work is all done. I can trust him. That man looked at a Christ on the cross and believed in him. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Ever make a request to God very personally about your soul and where you're going to be forever? What did the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus, you think he said, sure.
Yeah. You? Thief? Nah.
Think the Lord Jesus responded that way? Not at all. My, he was delighted to be able to say to him, today you'll be with me. What better place would you want to be than to be with Christ? I don't know what his heart would do there. He just, boom, today I'm going to be with him in paradise. He couldn't clap his hands because they were nailed to the cross. But I think, yes, man alive, I'm going to be with him. He just received me. What a way to end your life knowing you're going to be with Jesus Christ. Today, he said, you will be with me. I wonder who you'll be with. Who will you be with in eternity? Think about it. They had the equal privileges, equal opportunities, same Jesus Christ. And the reality of this story is, this man went up, and that man went down. It's the reality. And as Mr. Dirksen speaks to you tonight, think seriously about what you're going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you understand about him? And where will you be for the eternal ages?